Good morning. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest on the dance scene and the heart of what moves us. Thank you for tuning in to share time and rhythm with us. Welcome to this dance space. Well, folks, as you join us today, as always, we invite you to come in as we explore the stories that live both on and beyond the stage. And today, I am so thrilled to be in conversation with our featured guest of the hour. My guest today has been known to describe themselves as quite ethereal. Multi-hyphenate artist Tavia Christina is in the house and will be with me for the full hour. So stay tuned and stay locked in right here to CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to take a break and be right back with Tavia Christina. Welcome back to Turnout Radio. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. Tavia Christina is an award-winning multi-hyphenate artist who embraces their ethereal nature as a driving force in artistic expression and research. Now, their work seamlessly blends genres across dance, theater, and performance art. Their work is rooted in somatic movement and spiritual endurance. With a background spanning Western, contemporary dance, street dance, and classical ballet, Tavia also holds interests in various other art forms, including curation, music, acting, poetry, film, and death work, which we'll be delving into today. In their freelance career, they have won Best Choreography at Innovate Film Festival, have been nominated for a Dora Maver Moore Award, and are interning as an artistic director at Adelheid, facilitated through the Metcalf Foundation. Please join me in welcoming to the show, Tavia Christina. Tavia, welcome to Turnout Radio.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. It's so good to see you. As you come into the space, share with us, how is Tavia doing in preparation for today's discussion?
Ooh, today I actually was a little bit nervous. But getting to know you and like hearing how reassuring you are and eager to hold space in this conversation, brings me a lot of joy to just like connect with somebody. So I'm really grateful to just be hosted by you. I feel like it's really important to say, because you know, when we're having a big moment in our life where we have to do this big either job interview or attend this big event, more often than not, the people are feeling the exact same way as you are. And I think acknowledging that just alleviates that fact from being so big inside of your head to just dissipating and finding what is really there, which is just connection.
Well, thank you for your kind words, Atavia. And thank you as well for your transparency about being nervous. I deeply appreciate that. And it's an experience that I can relate to very closely. And what it's causing me to reflect on are the many moments that I have felt that nervous energy building up in my body. And when I've said it out loud, what I found is that all of a sudden, it breaks down the wall between myself and that other human that I've just confessed my nervous energy to. And now it gives way for us to experience a very real human moment of recognizing that we are indeed humans having a deeper connection.
Two people being vulnerable in the space.
Yes.
And I feel like that's what we're doing today.
It is. And I thank you again for sharing so wonderfully at the top of our interview. So let's delve, Tavia. I'd like to open by revisiting my opening share. You describe yourself as being quite ethereal. Tell us, what does that self-description mean for you? And where does that meaning sit within your body?
I think it actually like acts as a container. Maybe it is inside of me, like coming from my solar plexus. And it probably just creates this beautiful little cocoon around me. To me, I think a lot of my friends would be like, you're always just floating around, going from place to place, or like just bopping around and either smiling or being giddy, or even when I'm not, when I'm like more somber and like esoteric, I have my hood on and I'm like dwelling the streets. They're like, you're so elusive, you're so ethereal, you're between two places. That's actually a great way of describing it.
Is there anything within that description, that understanding and way of being that speaks about time?
I love how we're starting off like this. For me, time in itself is very complex. I'm somebody who experiences deja vu like weekly, almost more often like 2 to 3 times in a week. I would say that it feels like it's always happening, and I'm both myself and my ancestors and my future versions of myself all at once. I kind of think of time as like this upwards coil, and wherever I am at, like me, Tavia, on this coil, it's somehow linking up with other versions of my spirit or my soul. And those are the moments in which I'm having this like deja vu aha moment. So I think time and etherealism or like ephemerism go hand in hand, because it feels also very elusive, but very tangible as well. You're like almost like gliding your fingers around it, around this curtain.
I consider the span of possibility of the awareness of being and the awareness of self that can come from that reflection.
Yeah, I think the idea of understanding or discovering of whether it's life path or journey of one's like mission, if you want to call it soul mission, or even if you don't believe in that kind of stuff, like what you're meant to do in this life is much bigger than your 9-to-5 that you chose, or how somebody on the street might like see you. I think that it like penetrates a deeper, It penetrates a deeper understanding of what's guiding you that isn't your 2 feet or your body or XYZ. It's your soul's little dance on the path of life.
What do you think your purpose is? Have you found it? Have you discovered it?
I think I'm always on the path of discovery, but I actually talked about this recently with somebody, and I think my purpose is to experience a number of ways to experience freedom. And that can sound kind of facetious a little bit, because like, what does it mean to be free? There's so many connotations. There's like socio-political connotations. There's like gender connotations. There's race connotations, XYZ. But what I'm specifically talking about, I think, is what comes with the experience of freedom, whether it's the freedom to express joy, to express sadness. And this person was like, well, you've felt so much pain in your life. I would think that yours would to negate that. And like, exactly. So it's just like the opposite end of the spectrum. So I think that would probably be my mission, is to continue to experience that. And its plethora of ways. Sure, storytelling has to do with it. Obviously, I think that that's a big part of my life. But I think in doing so, to tell that story, I have to experience something. And for me, it's in the lens of freedom. Yeah.
I do think about, yes, the awareness that can come out of those inquiries with self. I also think about the peace as mm-hmm. well that comes mm-hmm. to mind, the peace that can be achieved and acquired from those inquiries.
On my vision board last year, I think a big one was maintaining that inner peace. It is like this quiet resilience, or like this tending to one's garden, as some people like to call it, that acknowledges both like that dichotomy of beauty and like brutality that is life and surviving. Because it can be anybody experiencing that to like a large degree, a small degree. But I think peace is a beautiful mindset. And it also can be experienced in real life as well, like in its tangible 3D form.
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. Spiritual endurance is something that speaks to you and is a part of not only your practice, but a part of your life in general. And so can you speak to the scope of what that means to you, spiritual endurance?
Mm-hmm. For people who don't believe in spirituality, you can sort of take it as how you hold yourself. For me, this type of endurance is the capacity to try my very best in staying present with discomfort, transformation, vulnerability, and change. It's this willingness and like consistency in asking myself to return to myself again and again and again and again, when it's hard, when it's exhausted, or it's shifting. I think in creation for me, and it shows up very differently throughout my life, but more so recently, it's a commitment to this curiosity of uncovering and like digging my hands deep into the soil and figuring what it is that I want to say. And it allows me to hold space for that uncertainty and to like act as a vessel. More often than not, I am in conversation with something else. You can call it whatever you want. But I'm just always listening and responding. I'm always in conversation with other, whether that's, you can call it God, you can call it creator, you can call it spirit, you can call it your mom, you can call it your friend, You can call it a tree. Anything. And I'm just acting as the vessel, always, to conduit and transmute and then transform it into whether a body, whether a score, whether I'm the performer, whatever it is. I'm just unraveling it and letting it rebuild that channel out. That is definitely what I do.
Have you found that the scope of the spiritual endurance that you speak of has supported you in holding space for the waves of the many different aspects of life, including celebration, hardship, and other realities outside of those?
Definitely. It doesn't always have to be like treacherous or doom filled. In fact, recently this year, I wanted to make something happy. My Nana always says, "You always make something so sad. Why don't you just try to make something happy?" And so this year I really wanted to try, and it was hard. In fact, I think it's harder than most things. Because you're not actually trying to grasp that feeling and hold it tight. You actually want it to move and flow. And that feels much more difficult for me personally to create like that. I've tried it and you can do it. This was for the film that I made called Want You, which premiered at the Innovate Film Showcase in Vancouver this past summer. The dancers were Matt Morales and Christian Levine, one of them being my longtime friends and collaborators. And I was like, hey, I really see you in this. And I want you to feel like you can embody what it's like to be on the cusp of like falling in love with somebody, or like knowing that like this is the only moment in this character's arc or period where you have each other right in front of you. Like, when is that ever gonna happen? Or how can you attach yourself to a feeling like that that you're currently working on or have felt before? But yeah, for me, it was like the desire to be present with somebody. Because I find that's very hard to come by nowadays. That time, that generous, long look. And I really wanted to try making that. And sure, I guess you could say it. I think it worked. Like, it was a really beautiful process. And I'm really glad with how it turned out. Yeah. Yeah, you definitely can dig your hands in the soil and like find a beautiful, rich seed.
Your choreographic research and development are, of course, influenced by some of the elements that you have mentioned, including improvisation, voice work, and a deep connection with the surrounding ecology. And so can you expand further about your approach to creative practice?
For me, it always stems from a thought that I'm having from that conversation. I'll be plucked with this idea and I stew on it. More often than not, I go on long walks wherever I'm based at the time. Right now, these long walks take place along High Park next to my favorite trees, and I will voice record myself just talking to myself, stewing on and chewing on these thoughts. And I find that to be a way for me to get things out of my body, which is incredibly helpful. And from there, I will either like research on it, whether it's like a philosophical thought, I'll like read a lot of books on it. I did a piece where it was based on like phenomenology, and I was like chin up with books and textbooks. And then from there, I actually enjoy listening to sounds that help emulate those feelings first, before I reach the studio, because then for me, I can have an understanding of like how it's impacting my emotional body first, because that's sort of the way in which I work more often than not. And then I'm translating to either choreography or a set score or tasks, or I'm writing a script and we're doing all of the things and with text. So that's sort of how it shows up for me. In terms of like when I'm in a place where the ecology is really speaking to me, I'm more often than not just sitting and listening. Like I am with the space and allowing those things to speak to me. And again, it's having that conversation of like, how am I rooted, literally, physically, and then able to move my body in order to respond to what they're saying to me. And that's sort of where I will start finding the vocabulary, and whether I'm filming myself or just trying my best to be present with it, that's sort of how that language comes about.
I'm envisioning you walking and narrating and just putting your voice out there. And what came to mind for me was the construction of saying it out loud, releasing the words from your body into the air, and having the opportunity to be walking and allowing those words to circulate, not only in the atmosphere, but also circulating within the constructs of your mind. And then I started to think of how those words re-enter the body in the space of creating. So that was what came to mind, that very big picture of saying it out loud, of narrating. Are you someone who journals? Do you write your thoughts out as well?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Always. Always, always, always. I just found that for me, I'm constantly writing, but when I get stuck and I can't I can't get it out of my body, I need to just go on that long walk and talk to myself. Maybe I'll look a little silly, but it's really worth it in the end.
So when you reflect on the nature of what it feels like within the body to voice your shares, but also to write them down, when we look at this through the lens of creating, how do you sense the internal formulation of these words and feelings and experiences, thoughts throughout the body when you're creating?
This is a really great question, and just acknowledging that too. I think it has a lot to do with if those thoughts can breathe inside of me and expand. If it feels a little bit restrictive, it depends on if I want to work that way, but I tend to not want to do it. So if it feels like I can move and it can continue, like a comma or like a trail of thoughts, then I know I'm on the right path. Because if I feel like I'm running up against a hard place or a rock, it's not going to work. And I will just get frustrated with myself. And I think then for me, it switches from this internal aspect of attaching to my world to then it being external and performative and shape-like, which I don't necessarily work that way. And I find it actually quite difficult for me to work that way. I took a class recently with taught by my friend Katie Adams Gossage, and we did this task where we were working on like moving from our internal world and moving from our external world. And I was talking to the class about how restrictive moving from that external world like felt. I was like, I'm only making lines. I'm only doing cool shapes, and I don't know why that is. And I think for me, like, in order to access myself truly and vulnerably is like from my internal scope instead of like this skin suit that I wear. And she was like, it makes a lot of sense because like I obviously know you and it's so vast. And there's always so many layers, whereas I feel like your external layer is just you, and it is beautiful, and it has so much capacity as well. But there's not, like, there's not that depth that I know that you want to find. And I think that's sort of how I would answer that is what's inside me speaks much more volumes than my outside.
Stay with us. More of Turnout Radio coming up after this. Leading up to the interview, you had shared with me that you are beginning your journey in death work. And so can you share with us what inspired you to examine this work?
I have always thought that death is a friend. I've had many instances where I'm working in tandem with grief throughout my life, whether it's personal or I'm in support of somebody else's grief journey. And I was actually heavily inspired to start this path forward by one of my mentors. Her name is Shelley. And it started through, I think about a few years ago, I was just like sitting in my mom's house and I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And this is, I think in the summer, and I was just journaling about like where I was at. I was like going through a big grief journey myself. And as I previously mentioned, like sometimes things just like are plucked into my consciousness. And I think, what was it? I think they were saying like, it's okay, you can do this forever. And this crow started circling around me. Wow, I'm really going like into my woo-woo side. And I know crows to be like a messenger or a bringer of death. So I was like, oh, I wonder what that's about. So I kept like doing some research about it. And I find out that end-of-life care supporters are also known as like death workers or death doulas. And I was like, wow, that's really fascinating. Obviously, I've heard of like a birthing doula or a full-spectrum doula. And I was just very curious. And I kept reading more and more about it and its roots, its practices. And I thought, wow, this is something that I think I do already. Like I support my colleagues, my community or myself in similar manners to this. So I thought it would be interesting to continue on this path. And I will say that I am on the very, very start of my journey. I'm heavily inspired by my friend, Brooke Manning, who is a death doula. And she also just says, if it's a calling, then it is your calling. And for me, that looks like volunteer hospice work. It is about reading about the multifaceted approaches that happen in this world. I highly recommend reading From Here Until Eternity by Emma Doughty. Beautiful book. It also looks like going to school to really hone in on that craft because it is forever. And I think you don't have to ignore the feelings, like the palpable sadness and grief that comes with loss, whether it's a family or a friend or somebody you just knew. You don't have to push it away. And I think it's important to give people that information to not feel like it's rushed.
We have more shares from Tavia Christina coming up after this break. Thank you. You're listening to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. Tavia, it's been so wonderful to have you on the show today. Just to sit and explore thought with you has been incredibly powerful. Before you go, I would like to share with the audience that you have some very special things that are coming up, including an album.
Yes, I have a new studio album coming out in December. It is the score of my latest work called Sometimes the Sex is So Good, and it will be released under my artist name, Dame. And I made this album for the show, but I made it more so to sort of dip my toes into music making a little bit more seriously. I'm lucky enough to have a amazing collaborator named Luke Grunts collaborate with me on the project. He produced and also played on the album. And I would describe the album sort of as this eerie with some undertones of darkness, of course. but no, it's like, it was really fun to make the album. I really enjoy working in like an ambient sort of tone. I'm often playing the piano or the synthesizer or the concertina and using those through like cassette loopings or pedal arrangements and whatnot. And actually there's like a few songs on it where I'm just straight up plugged into an amp, just fiddling around with the static to find like the right keys to harmonize off of one another. And that's been really, really fun. I think my favorite sound is just like straight up ambient, like static ticks. It's just so like nuanced and finite that it really, really tickles my brain in the right way. But no, I'm really excited to release it. I've never done anything like this before. And I hope people listen to it. You can listen to it on any sort of streaming platform, wherever you get your music. And stay tuned because I will be releasing more in the future.
Stay tuned, indeed, indeed. Well, it's coming out in December, and folks have a lot to look forward to. I will also be sure to place that information where you can be found on the turnoutradio.com website. But in the interim, between now and the release of your album, I do want to say again how delightful it's been to have you on the show today and to delve into such deep conversation with you. You got to come back and visit us,
I
Tavia.
would love to. It
We would love to have you back. Such a pleasure having you on the show.
Thanks so much, Nicole. I really appreciate you hosting me.
You're listening to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. Stay with us. More of Turnout Radio coming up after this. Today, you've been listening to the sounds of Cannonball Adderley with Autumn Leaves and John Coltrane with Blue Train. Thank you. Welcome back to Turnout Radio. That was the wonderful Tavia Christina here in the house with me. Oh, what a pleasure it was to be in conversation with Tavia. And folks, if you missed the top of the interview, we invite you to visit turnoutradio.com, CIUT.FM, and some of your favorite podcast platforms where this episode will soon be streaming. And while there on our website, be sure to check out where you can find more about Tavia's music and upcoming work. To connect with us, please do forward your emails to turnoutradio@ciut.fm. Well, this brings us to a close of this episode. Thank you for tuning in to share time and rhythm with us. Join us again next week for more of Turnout Radio right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance.